Page 24. The California School for the Blind celebrates its 150th birthday, by Judy Wilkinson and Alyssa Chatto. Preparing for this birthday bash began last fall, reports Alyssa Chatto, a teacher at CSB. Two events were scheduled, one on the day of the spring concert, May 13, and the other student-oriented day on May 19, where Alyssa's play about the history of CSB was performed. She says preparations began in October of 2009 when Dr. Sharon Sachs, Director of Curriculum, Assessment, and Staff Development, formed a committee made up of teachers and dorm counselors to plan a program. Subcommittees included programming, dinner, decorating, dessert, and cleanup. Maureen DeLong, mother of student Sebastian, a professional caterer, prepared the dinner at cost, and various faculty members volunteered to make an array of cakes and cookies for the dessert extravaganza at the evening's end. The program committee asked students to write letters of invitation to four prominent members of both the blind and able-bodied communities, including Michelle Obama, to be a guest speaker at our event. It was finally decided that blind entertainer Tom Sullivan would perform at the afternoon assembly. And, of course, the CCB Spring Convention, with the theme Education, the Key to Our Future, honored CSB, devoting the majority of its Friday afternoon session to showcasing the school's endeavors. Page 25. The Education of Blind Children in California began in a small wood frame building on Tehama Street in San Francisco in 1860. A group of prominent, influential women met on the 17th of March, 1860, to organize a society for the instruction and maintenance of the indigent, deaf and dumb, and the blind in California. So begins the wonderful document we received at the door, presenting the history of the school. Much of the credit for pulling the history together goes to Lynn Layard, a former CSB teacher, and of course the producer of the BC large print edition. To obtain a copy, contact James Rudder by phone at 510-794-3800, extension 317, or email jrudder@csb-cde.ca.gov. And what a day it was. Old friends chatted and reminisced until Sharon Sachs, the overall event coordinator and day's mistress of ceremonies, began the festivities by telling of the time capsule buried by the school community the previous day, containing, among other things, a cane and a copy of the school's current budget. But we must wait 25 years to find out its other contents. Throughout the day, Stuart Wittenstein, the current superintendent, read congratulatory messages. Dr. Dean Tuttle told of throwing out old grade 1.5 Braille books and being frantically telephoned by worried Berkeley residents alerting him that at the dump were valuable Braille books. Our own Kathy Skyver sent words about how important residential schools for the blind are and that we must fight to make sure not to lose any more of them. The high point of the afternoon to me were the four students reading their own essays on the subject of what CSB meant to them. Angelica B., DJ H., Teresa G., and Cody M. each said how much the faculty and staff meant to them. Another recurring theme was how much they had gained. Page 26. We also learn from a panel of alums, longtime CCB member Elmer Chapson, who entered CSB age 10 in 1935, represented the early years. He spoke mostly of his successful career as a rehab counselor, especially with the deaf-blind. Worried that he would startle a client when he entered her open door, he turned on her fan, its breeze alerting her to her visitor. John Cavanaugh, representing the 50s and early 60s, traveled furthest to New York City. He shared haiku, describing the pride of traveling independently with a cane. One early trial, going alone to the store, bringing back a prize, a bag of donuts, evidence of new freedom, sugar-coated joy. Connie Wright, a current teaching assistant at the school, told of how at age 17 she was forced by her parents to attend the school because she was doing so poorly in her studies. She read an email written just weeks after her arrival telling her boyfriend how much she was learning and already how important the school had become both for her academic work and her self-confidence. Philip Hatlin, former professor in the credentialing program for teachers of the visually impaired at San Francisco State University, former principal of CSB, and most recently superintendent of the Texas School for the Blind, spoke at length about his memories of teachers and staff. He spoke of former students, such as deaf-blind Ricky Joy, in the room at the time, who used the method of listening by placing his fingers on the speaker's throat and lips. When Hatlin suggested he needed to end the conversation, reported, "Ricky just wouldn't let go." Page 27. The assembly ended with the aforementioned performance by blind writer-singer Tom Sullivan, who attended the Perkins School for the Blind. He reminded students that each was a unique individual and should strive to achieve all they desired. On this balmy afternoon, we adjourned to the beautiful courtyard, or school's town square, as Alyssa terms it, for refreshments and music. Some 200 of us were treated to a simple yet elegant dinner. How anyone can prepare al dente asparagus and beautifully cooked carrots for 200, I'll never know. Not to mention the chocolate-dipped strawberries, our light dessert. Throughout dinner, more congratulations from state officials, from Leslie Tom, representing the CCB, reminding us of the organization's support of CSB over the years, from Mary Willows, taking off her CSB teacher's hat and putting on her hat as the president of the Nashville Federation of the Blind of California. She said she was proud that the NFBC was one of the event sponsors. All along, it was intended that the birthday celebration be held in conjunction with a semi-annual concert from the student musician. At 1.3 keyboards were blasting away. We had piano and flute solos and songs from the Glee Club. Imagine an entire buffet table with every conceivable kind of cake and cookie and brownie. Delicious. The sugar high was only equaled by the high created by the experience of the entire day. A glimpse of how the CSB community of students and staff works together is illustrated by Alyssa Chatto's description of preparing for and performing her play based on Lynn Laird's history. Page 28. I wrote the play as a series of scenes depicting the school's history from its founding in San Francisco in 1860 to its present place in modern-day special education. Two narrators, another student and I, were used to introduce each of the scenes. In writing and rehearsing the play, I needed to take into account the needs of the 12 students who were acting in it. To that end, I devised a staging format, a system in which I broke down each scene into the order in which each actor spoke and whether they were moving or sedentary. This formatting proved to be a tremendous help during rehearsals, especially when last-minute cast changes had to be made. It also proved to be an even bigger help to the three prompters working on stage with the students. The prompters were used when the actors forgot their lines or became too nervous to speak without assistance. One of the best parts of putting on How It Came to Be was the incredible teamwork between student and prompter. The former was able to respond almost immediately when the latter whispered their lines to them. The acting that was displayed on May 19 was outstanding by anyone's standards, yet the most important thing of all was the sheer enjoyment these children had. This wasn't just drama, it was fun. I had gone into these anniversary preparations with the notion that the CSB community was made up only of those who are alumni of the school, which I am not. I had also equated community with working at the school for over 20 years, which I have not. I've been teaching there only 10 years, a veritable rookie. What I have since come to realize is that community is made up of those of us who have dedicated our professional and even personal lives to educating children in a school for the blind, and this is far different from teaching in a vision program in a public school district, which I have done. I may be a newcomer in comparison to many of the people at the May 13 celebration, but I was as welcome as any seasoned member. Given a choice, I would much rather be where I am now.